Hi, with Truth News Radio Australia, beaming out to you on the 5th day of June 2013. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we might as well call this the vaccine show. I've been doing so many shows focusing on the controversy and deceit over vaccines. It's become one of my major obsessions, and I'm not ashamed of that. In fact, I'm proud of it. And today's show will continue in that tradition. My objective here is to make people aware of the full scope of the deception, the fraud, and the abuse of power that coincides in this question about vaccines and laws and your freedoms and your personal health choices. And I'm very angry about it. I'm very angry because I see something going on which is completely unjust. And I see major media organizations, highly paid news anchors, politicians, government representatives, medical people, all collaborating in lies. And they are lies. We're not just talking here about a difference in perspective. We're not talking here about a debate, because I'm all for debate. And I'm willing to accept that there are two sides of the argument about whether vaccines ever worked, whether some of them work or whether none of them work. And I'm open to actually having my opinion changed on a lot of that. But I've discovered complete lies are being told, complete deceptions that is just fraud. It's just outright deception. It's propaganda. You could call it PR if you want to use a nice word. And it appears to be in the service of the profits of very large companies that are selling drugs. Now, today's show, I'm going to be talking a lot about whooping cough, the scientific name being pertussis. It is a bacterial infection, unlike many diseases which are vaccinated against. It is not a viral infection, it is a bacterial infection. And I'm going to be going through some facts and figures in relation to pertussis. And I'm also going to be playing to you some clips from a recent documentary which was shown on Australian television, on SBS TV, a couple of weeks ago. The title of the documentary is Jabbed. And I'll just get that up on the page here. They've got a website for it at the sbs.com.au website. The full title of the documentary is Jabbed: Love, Fear and Vaccines. And just reading to you from the information here on the website. How do you decide whether to vaccinate or not? Jabbed is a 90-minute documentary that seeks to start a new conversation around vaccination. Jabbed reveals how vaccination is a key part of public health, yet also acknowledges that there are real and rare risks. Many people, understandably, have questions and concerns. In a world of information overload and conflicting stories, Jabbed asks, how do you reach a thoughtful, informed decision? Now, reading that synopsis, you'd think, well, this seems to be a fairly well-balanced documentary. It seems to be one that really is aiming to get to the truth. But as I've found with many of the state-sanctioned productions such as this, SBS, of course, is a government-run television channel, what we find is that there will be a presentation of what the documentary is about. In other words, it will present itself as being one thing, but in reality, it'll be something quite different. So the way it's described here, it looks as if it's going to give you both sides. Actually, it doesn't. It only gives you one side, folks. And it does pay lip service to the other side. But it's so clear as you watch it what the editorial intent is. It just jumps out at you. You'd have to be a low-grade moron not to recognize that this is, in fact, pushing a very, very strong case for why vaccines are essential and why there's really no problem with them other than people's misperceptions or fears, as they like to talk about. And they like to soften the accusations against vaccine refusers by describing them as fearful people. See, they're not necessarily bad. They're just people who are afraid. But again, it's a put-down. It's taking a superior position. And it is completely ignoring, denying, and forgetting a vast bulk of information. So it's not actually presenting you, it's not really a documentary. It's a PR program. And that, to me, is something that makes me very angry. It's something that requires a response. I believe that the makers of this documentary should be confronted publicly. I believe that we should try and find out what connections, if any, there are between the funding of the film and the pharmaceutical industry. I need support in all of this. I'd like anyone listening to get in touch with me and help me. I'd like to get out there. I'd like to put cameras in front of the people who made it. I'd like to expose their lies. I'd like to expose their secret, hidden, vested interests. Because I know I'm being lied to. But anyway, let's begin now with the documentary, and I'm going to start playing it from the beginning, but I will pause it here and there to make a few comments. So this is a documentary that aired on Sunday, May the 26th, throughout Australia on the state-run television channel SBS.
Our lives are linked as never before, connected every day in 1,000 unseen ways. We are a tapestry of humanity, where each individual thread plays a part. But there are dangers in our midst. Diseases largely unseen for a generation are returning.
Measles is something you associate with kiddies. Preschool, you don't associate it with teenagers and 20-year-olds.
Across the world, children are getting sick and dying as nervous parents skip their children's shots.
In a matter of 10 hours, she went from playing to dying in my arms. It was that quick.
If you start to decrease vaccine immunization rates, what you start to see is you start to see the diseases reemerge.
One result could be a veritable tsunami of disease.
And yet there are cases of rare and serious vaccine reactions that damage lives and fragile public trust.
They basically said, "We're sorry, but your son has some kind of paralysis and we just simply don't know why."
It's like living with a ticking time bomb. One minute he can be laughing, next minute he's having a power seizure on the floor.
Decide whether to vaccinate or not. And what are the real risks?
I think the key is communication and honesty, and I think the medical community has to put the cards on the table.
It's not about saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm afraid," and now that's the end of the conversation. No, that's just the start of the conversation.
I'm just going to pause it there for a moment. Now, I want to go over some of the key points in that introductory presentation. Some of them are easy to miss, some of them a little bit subliminal. They started off talking about the tapestry that interconnects everyone in the world. Now, this is a subtle sort of hat tipping to the one of the most pervasive and actually effective arguments about vaccine, which is this greater good argument. How it's the collectivist argument. It's the argument that we must sacrifice individual choice to the greater good. Just very briefly, but it will raise its head again and again during the show. But just moving along, they used the term nervous parents skipping their vaccines, and they're talking about a resurgence of some types of infectious diseases. And again, this will be a continued theme throughout the documentary, and one which is completely duplicitous, completely deceptive, completely wrong, when in fact vaccination rates have increased, that's correct, you heard me right, vaccination rates have increased, but despite that, some diseases such as whooping cough and measles have returned. And vaccination rates are way higher than they've been. Way higher than they were when the incidence of those diseases was previously approaching what it is now. I'll get into that in more detail. Third point I wanted to raise is they talk about the question about making a decision. How do we decide whether we want to vaccinate? And then they get the doctors to talk about how we need to be informed and how the medical community has to put their cards on the table. All well and good. But see, that's not the real debate anymore. That's not why vaccine refusers are up in arms. The reason why vaccine refusers are up in arms is because there is a massive lobby, and a very powerful one, with backing from very, very deep pocket organizations to make vaccines mandatory. So it's not a question of you making a decision anymore. No, you will be told what to do. So the question, the debate, is actually no longer really the debate about do I get the vaccine or not. And, you know, if it was simply about that, I wouldn't probably even be having this show. I wouldn't be talking about it, because I think it's fine if we have that debate at an individual level or at a parent level, and the parent decides, looks at the information, looks at the data, looks at the data sheets, and looks at the history of vaccination, the history of infectious diseases, and simply says, well, I think I'll say no to this one. It's my choice. It's my children. It's my body. And I don't think the safety is proven. I think the risks are a little bit higher than the benefits. And fine. Or some might say, no, I'm going to make sure my kids get all those vaccines. Well, I personally disagree with it, but if that's what you want to do, go right ahead. That's what a free society is. That's what a democracy is. Right? The information's there. The product is there. There's an economy which is supplying the product to those who want it. And the product that works well will probably start to do well. It will sell more. And the product that doesn't do so well, it'll start to drop off. That's a free market. That's a free economy. That's a democracy. But what the vaccine purveyors want to do is change all that. They want to force you to take vaccines. We're going to break. Please come back. It's going to be a good show.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Like they want us to be afraid, man. Or maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Liv, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the mix.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. It's great to be with you today. You can find us at truthnews.com.au. You can get our podcasts. And you can also find us at Logos Radio Network, which broadcasts the show every week on a number of FM stations in the US, mainly Oklahoma City and Austin, Texas. And if you're listening from those locations, a big hello to you today. I hope you're having a good day. Now, of course, there are many important things going on in the world, and many of those liberty-minded folk are probably paying attention to the Bilderberg protest rally there happening in the UK, and I'm certainly following that. I don't really have anything original to offer on that subject, so I won't bother opining on it, but I think I'll just say one thing briefly, that I do think it's important. Some people have said anecdotally here and there, and I've been reading on Facebook, they think it's a waste of time, they think it's pointless, they think it's overhyped. And, you know, all of those things are probably true. But the mere fact that a secret organisation like this Bilderberg meeting exists and has been able to exist under the noses of the so-called free press for decade after decade, it's just such an outrage. Again, it's one of these things that just has to make you angry. And the only way it can be changed is if it's confronted. It actually has to be exposed. That's why you have to get the hoopla. You have to get the media circus. And what Alex Jones and people like that are doing is vitally important. You've got to draw attention to it. They want it. They want you to not know about it. They tried to hide it for many years. They tried to. The media studiously ignores it. And even now, even as they're increasingly each year more people going to these protests, the media has trouble covering it because their mandate has always been to ignore the Bilderberg group. It's supposed to be secret, you see. And the media is in on it. The media is in on the secret. But when you get protests happening, when you get kind of festivals and fringe Bilderberg festival going on outside the confines of the building, it becomes newsworthy in itself. And it puts the media organizations under a lot of pressure. And great, you know, that's what we need. So I do hope that continues, and I hope it continues year after year, and I'm not concerned about whether it's overhyped or whether, you know, it's a waste of resources. Who knows what would be a good use of resources and time. I think confronting lies, confronting deceptions, confronting things that people try to keep hidden, people with power and influence, and to expose those things that they try to keep hidden is extremely important. And getting back to this question about vaccines, this is what I'm trying to do on this show. I'm trying to expose the lie. I'm trying to also expose the truth, which has been hidden. I'm trying to expose the lie, which has been put there to cover up the truth. Now, I'm going to continue playing to you from the documentary Jabbed, and we'll be getting into the question of whooping cough and the resurgence of whooping cough. And what the cause of that might be. And I've got some information that I've dug up, and I'm going to be comparing that with what we're presented with here in the documentary. Should be very interesting. So here we go, continuing with the documentary from SBS TV, Jabbed.
In Australia, like much of the developed world, vaccination is widely accepted. Here, over 90% of people support vaccination. Only around 2% are opposed. But in 2012, an Australian survey revealed something surprising. Over 50% of parents have concerns around vaccines. Some are more worried about vaccines than the diseases the vaccines prevent. Until recently, Jemana and Billy Chandab were enjoying everyday family life. Then someone, somewhere, passed a dangerous germ to Osman, their newborn son. And suddenly, life went terribly wrong.
Okay, I'll just pause it there. Now, look, folks, this is just despicably dishonest in the way this documentary has been presented. The next few minutes, we have a scene of a baby in hospital coughing horrendously, and it goes on and on and on and on. They use the phrase, someone passed a dangerous germ. Someone, somewhere, passed a dangerous germ to the little baby here. This is after they were talking about parents being concerned, parents being worried about vaccines. They suddenly cut to that, right? And with that ominous, those ominous words, the dangerous germ was passed. And then we have this very, very drawn out interview with a baby coughing in the background of one case of whooping cough. It's manipulative, folks. It's totally manipulative. The makers of this documentary have to be confronted and exposed for their cheap, dishonest technique in making the documentary. There are more things than that that have to be confronted on, but that is one. And I'm going to be preparing a list for the time when I'm actually able to speak to people in person about this.
Osman Chandab is 7 weeks old. He was due to be vaccinated against whooping cough in the next week. But the germ has got to him first. His mother, Jumana, brought him to hospital 2 days ago. What started as a runny nose and a slight cough has become frightening episodes where he's struggling to breathe.
My little son Osman has been sick from Monday. He started to change his color, turning to blue, and he lost his breathing. My cousin, she held him and took him out the room outside to fresh air and tap on his back to get back to normal. And my other cousin, she called the ambulance came in straight away. So they do all the kind of blood tests to see what's that from, and after they find out that's the whooping cough.
Whooping cough, or pertussis as it's formerly known, can be life-threatening for babies. One in four babies hospitalised have serious complications, like pneumonia. One in 250 die. There's no medical cure. Antibiotics are used to reduce the chance of infecting others, but Osman's tiny body must fight the infection.
What's he weigh?
4.54.
Whooping cough is caused by a really nasty bacteria called Bordetella pertussis, and it produces a toxin and it attacks the airways and causes a really nasty bronchitis, and they get really sticky, thick phlegm that they can't shift. And that they try to, and that causes them to cough. And the cough needs to be really, really vigorous, but they often, it's not very effective, and then sometimes they stop breathing. And if they stop breathing for long enough, obviously they can't get the oxygen in, so they go red in the face at first, and then sometimes, if it's an extended period of not breathing, they can go blue, and that can be very, very frightening. They commonly get pneumonia, as this baby has, and that can be quite severe, and that's why.
We're just going to break, ladies and gentlemen. I'm playing you a documentary about vaccines, which I'm also deconstructing. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Children, yeah, I don't know
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, today I'm bringing you a documentary which is essentially a PR propaganda piece put out by a film crew working with the Australian government, essentially, the Australian broadcaster SBS TV, which is a multicultural television station, and they have the exclusive on this documentary. I'm very interested to know where the funding for it came from. It purports to be something that is there to address all of our concerns and to open a new dialogue, and uses all this nice language, all this pretty language, but in reality it's just a very cheap piece of government propaganda, really. I have to say that. I wish it wasn't. I wish it actually was what it claimed to be, because I would love to see something that gets all the experts involved and actually asks the right questions. But this one, you know, look, I won't belabor the point. What I'd like to do is just continue playing you the documentary, and I'll continue to make my points as we go through. Now, we were just listening to their earlier segment there with a parent, a young baby with whooping cough, and there were a lot of scenes there of the mother crying and the baby coughing, and it goes on and on and on, and the doctor's there talking about all the terrible complications and seizures and asphyxia and brain damage that can occur as a result of whooping cough. Of course, this is all true. These things can occur. These are possible complications of whooping cough. It's very carefully placed, though, in the documentary, again, to manipulate you, to make you essentially afraid of the germ. And they keep referring to the germ that came in, the germ that was passed to the baby by someone. And the implication there, of course, which your subconscious mind will fill in, is it was someone who was not vaccinated who passed the germ, the evil germ, passed by the evil child, the wicked unvaccinated child. So I'm just going to skip ahead a little now to where the narrator of the documentary is giving you the kind of editorial position of the documentary in fairly clear, unambiguous terms. So let's just continue here from the documentary.
Across Australia, whooping cough infections are being reported at the highest levels in over 50 years. In 2011, there were nearly 40,000 cases. And these figures are echoed across the world. Whooping cough is not the only disease reappearing. Measles has also made a comeback. Over 28,000 cases were reported across Europe in 2011. 7,000 people were hospitalized and 9 died. Ago, 26-year-old Christina Leatherbarrow was a busy nurse working in this hospital. Today she is a measles patient, running a dangerously high temperature and unable to breathe without assistance. Christina's mother, Elaine, has been visiting her in the isolation ward every day.
Yeah, I thought she'd be a bit more through the disease by now. It seems to be taking on, because it's took over, she's asthmatic, so it's took over to her chest a bit as well. That's what's making it longer, I think. Have you still got your back pain? Your kidneys, no, that's an infection. It's just because you're dry, isn't it?
Because I'm an academic, I'm on duty for the ward in bursts, and I arrived on the ward having not seen a case of adult measles at all, ever, in my life. And on my first ward round, first day, I saw 3 cases. So I increased my experience of adult measles threefold within an hour of walking onto the ward.
In 2012, there were 500 cases of measles in the Liverpool region. This is the highest rate seen in 25 years. A disease largely unseen for a generation is back. Measles is also highly contagious. Over 90% of people who are exposed and don't have immunity get it.
If we look at the cases who've come in, the vast majority are people who, for some reason, have not been vaccinated. And then because this is highly infectious, people who don't have protection are now getting affected.
Dr. Paul Offit is a paediatrician and an expert in infectious diseases and their history. He is also co-inventor of a vaccine estimated to save several hundred thousand lives every year.
I guess we all have our biases. Mine is that I work in a hospital. And so, for example, in 1991 in the city of Philadelphia, there was a massive measles epidemic. It actually centered on two fundamentalist churches in the city, both of whom chose not to vaccinate their children. As a consequence, about 600 people in those two churches got measles. The disease, measles, then spread to the surrounding community. Of the 9 children who died during that 1991 epidemic, 7 of them died in our hospital. So we had to stand by and watch while we tried to support them. And, you know, as doctors, your job is to try and save children's lives. And when you stand helplessly by and watch them die, it gets to you.
Now, just to counterbalance what is presented there by that very confident, swaggering doctor there who invented a vaccine and probably profited from it as well. As we know, there's a lot of money to be made in vaccines. He, of course, claimed that these fundamentalist Christians who refused vaccines became ill, 600 of them, because they weren't vaccinated. Well, that's one report, and it's anecdotal. It's just coming from his mouth. Can we even believe it? Is it peer-reviewed? I don't know. But here's something that is actually peer-reviewed, and this is from a Natural News article from 2011. In 1984, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report of the CDC reported a late 1983 high school measles outbreak. The total student population was around 400, and all of them, 100%, had complied with Illinois state law requiring the complete MMR schedule. In 1987, a PubMed Central reported another public school measles outbreak among a 98% MMR vaccinated population. This happened in another high school, this one in Massachusetts, early in 1984. University of Helsinki reported an explosive outbreak of measles in a rural community during 1989. Most of the infected had been vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. Those vaccinated who became infected anyway also managed to spread the measles to their siblings. So, while it may be true in this case that these poor fundamentalist Christians ignorantly refusing to vaccinate became infected, there are many cases and many outbreaks where the vaccinated become infected as well. We'll just continue now with the documentary.
And unlikely as it may seem, this man is also a strong supporter of vaccination. Dr. Peter Fisher is clinical director of the largest alternative health centre in Europe. And he's homeopath to Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth.
I think it's very unhelpful to have a polarity between pro and anti-vaccination. I think it is actually unarguable that immunization has saved the lives of many, many millions of people, particularly children, worldwide. And some homeopaths oppose immunization. But they're quite wrong, because the founder of homeopathy, a man called Samuel Hahnemann, wrote very clearly, he said, and I can quote you the exact words, 40 or 50 years ago, when a smallpox epidemic struck a city, half or three quarters of the children would perish from this wretched pestilence, he called it. The founder of homeopathy was strongly in favor of vaccination. He said it made a huge difference.
Today, we expect our children to live. But 1,000 years ago, at least one in three children died before the age of 5. Adults barely lived past 50. Human history is scarred with stories of deadly germs destroying lives. Viruses like smallpox, influenza, polio, measles. Bacteria like TB, tetanus, diphtheria. These germs were invisible and seemingly invincible.
Okay, we're just going to break. I'm going to continue after the break with some more analysis and present you some figures in relation specifically to whooping cough and the epidemic of whooping cough that we're seeing now, which completely confound the position you've heard in that documentary. You're with Truth News Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. And I've been playing you today some clips from a documentary that purports to be opening a dialogue and bringing a new conversation about vaccines and their safety. Whereas, in fact, it is a very, very crude and deliberate PR stunt, essentially. And that last scene we had there with the Queen's homeopath, the Queen's personal homeopath, telling us all that vaccines are fantastic and that you know, homeopaths think they're great too, except some homeopaths don't. But then he says they're all wrong. Wow. I mean, why even put that in? Like, it's obvious why that was put in. It's, again, it's to persuade you. The whole point of this is to persuade you. It's advertising. It's just unacceptable, isn't it? It's unacceptable that our broadcasters, our tax-paying money, is going towards broadcasters who are putting on documentaries which are just manipulating your brain so that drug companies can sell things to you and even force you to buy their products. And as I was saying earlier, if it was a democracy, if it was a free society, you would make the choice. You would buy the product that works. That's the way a free economy works. That's the way a free society works. If a medicine is good, you will use it. I will use a medicine that is good. I'm not against medicines. I'm not against science. I'm not against any form of research. I am against exploitation and abuse and torturing of animals and experimentation beyond what is the bare minimum that is necessary. I'm against all that. But I'm not against being creative, using technology, improving our condition. And so if a vaccine worked and I believed it worked, I would use it. But again, it has to be my choice. It can't be thrust upon me, because once you thrust it upon me, you completely undermine the essential mechanism, the central mechanism, the sine qua non of quality control, is that you have to be able to choose what works. Once you can have it thrust upon you, those in control of that can just ram anything they like down your throat, can't they? Because you don't have the choice anymore to say no. And maybe a lot of the time what they'll be ramming down your throat is good. Maybe every now and then it'll be something really bad. Maybe it'll gradually decline to the point that they'll just be ramming rubbish down your throat all the time. Because there's no incentive to improve quality when you have total control, when you have a captive market. That was the problem with the Soviet model. That's the problem with any top-down, statist, communist, fascist system, is that it doesn't allow continuous improvement. It actually works against that. And in the end, it self-destructs because of that. Okay, I want to talk a little now about whooping cough, because a large thrust of the documentary we've seen there is about the whooping cough epidemic. And they're saying, they're implying that the reason why we're seeing elevated numbers of whooping cough in many Western countries is because there's a decline in vaccination. Well, you know, the truth couldn't be further from that. It's really the opposite of the situation. We've got vaccination levels now at 95%, which is incredibly high and much, much higher than it was in previous decades. Now, it's actually not that easy to get statistical, so historical data on vaccines. I've been trying to find like a good repository of that, and I haven't come up with much, but I do know for certain that our immunization rates specifically for whooping cough are way higher than they were in previous decades. And I have one set of results here from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and this is from their official website, an ABS survey of vaccination coverage, and it covers three periods, 1989, 1995, and 2001. And looking at the vaccination coverage for pertussis, we see in 1989-90, the vaccination rate was 71%. In 1995, it is 68%. And in 2001, it is 71.6%. Now, that is way lower than the current vaccination rate, which, according to mainstream sources again, is up at around 95%. I have an article here from the ABC. In Australia, the take-up rate of the pertussis vaccine is very high, with around 95% of children receiving the three full doses of vaccine by age of two. However, pertussis infections in all age groups are once again on the increase. Australia recorded 38,000 cases in 2011, the highest number since records began in 1991. Now, it says here in the article that research shows that the whooping cough vaccine is not as effective as its predecessor. And I've got another article here from Sydney Morning Herald, Whooping Cough Beats Vaccine. It says here, dangerous new strains of whooping cough bacteria are evading Australia's vaccine against the disease and entrenching a four-year epidemic that could spread overseas. Microbiologists from the University of New South Wales have found variants of the pertussis bacteria with a particular genetic structure have increased 86% of all samples taken from infected people after a continuing disease epidemic began in 2008. The strains have swept across Australia during the epidemic period. Now, this is the real story, okay? This is the actual story, the truth, the reality, is that the vaccine isn't working, ladies and gentlemen. It's the exact opposite. It's the mirror opposite of what you're being given in a documentary like Jabbed, which is subtly implying that disease levels are increasing because people are rejecting the vaccines, because worried parents are skipping the vaccine. But that's not even scientifically supported. That's a pure PR spin designed by advertising people, designed by people who want to manipulate your thinking. It's not based on fact, it's not scientific, it's not correct, it's a lie. So if someone were to want to create a documentary that really addressed something important, an important investigative documentary into illness and vaccines in our society, what you'd be seeing is a documentary which highlights the fact that our vaccines aren't working. This applies to the measles vaccine as well, because measles vaccination rates are at 95% as well, ladies and gentlemen. The vaccines aren't working. That's the story. That should be the headline. And we as citizens, we have to correct this. We have to confront the liars. We have to get out on the street. We've got to get cameras in their faces. We've got to confront them on their lies. We've got to expose them. And we've got to disrupt. Civil disobedience, I believe, is essential here. Now, I want to play to you another quick clip from the same documentary, and this addresses the question of herd immunity. And I've got some more information that I'm going to provide to you about herd immunity, but let's just play a clip here from the documentary.
The more people around me who are protected, the less likely I am to bump into somebody who actually has the disease. And you can think of this as these sort of concentric circles of people. And the less the disease exists in my circle or the next circle or the next circle, the safer I am. Now, I can't control what other people do, but what I do doesn't just affect me. The same set of circles exists for everybody. So the only way to be truly certain that we will not get sick is to have all of the circles, from my family to my community to my country to the world, such that there is no disease. We've done it once with smallpox.
Okay, I have some information to counterbalance what is proposed there, which comes from a blog page, and a man, private citizen, collected this information from the Department of Health and Aging. And this is specifically in relation to pertussis. And what it was looking at here was cases of pertussis in the fully immunized. Because, you see, if the herd immunity is a true concept, we would have to assume that people who are fully immunized won't get sick. Because if people who are fully immunized get sick, then the idea that you're surrounded by this herd of immunized people preventing you from getting sick because they're not sick falls apart, doesn't it? So what we have here is some data provided by the Communicable Diseases Network Australia. And just a summary here of that information. For the years 2008 to 2010, there were a total of 9,300 cases of whooping cough reported in children aged 0 to 4 years. Among them were 754 who were either too young or otherwise not eligible to have been vaccinated, and 1,497 for whom vaccine status was not known. Of the remaining 7,082 cases whose vaccine status was known and who were eligible to have received the vaccine, 5,200, that is 75%, were fully vaccinated for their age. A further 14% were partly vaccinated. Only 800, that's 11%, were unvaccinated. So in fact, in relation to pertussis, I don't think herd immunity can be said to work at all, can it? 75% were fully vaccinated. Hello? Again, it's a furphy. It's a nice talking point. Sounds good. It's good for an audio clip, a sound bite. But it's not real. Anyway, that's our show for this week. Unfortunately, there is no Hour 2 today. We'll be replaying Hour 2 from a previous show. But we'll be back next week. It's been great talking to you. Truth News Radio Australia, signing out.